Today on Real Life Radio.
Don't you and I want to be the object of God's affection right now? I tell you what, because if God does that in our lives, you know what? We are going to hang on. I tell you, we'll have our seatbelt on. It'll be a white knuckle Christian ride until the day he takes us home. That's how I want to live. Lord, make me an object of your affection and do what you want to do.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Jesus Christ, Center Stage, Part 1, continues now in his series called The Book of Revelation. There is no other book in the Bible that draws us in with such a gracious promise of blessings. But there's also no other book that comes with a severe warning should anyone add or take away from its message. In Genesis, we have the beginning of it all. In Revelation, we have the end goal of it all. You see, the book of Revelation is the grand finale of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the final act of communicating divine truth to us as humans and what must soon take place here on earth. A revelation from Jesus that is revealed to his beloved disciple John and begins with an address to seven churches in the Roman province of Asia Minor. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we first need to understand that through divine grace, we are the object of God's affection. As true believers, we're no longer fighting with God, but have been given his peace. God is spirit and is not bound by time whatsoever. And when trouble comes, he's there. And now in his message called Jesus Christ, Center Stage, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Divine grace, it's been also said, and I love this definition, divine grace is becoming the object of God's affection. Don't you and I want to be the object of God's affection right now? I tell you what, Lord, I'm praying now. In Jesus' name, make us, this church, this place, objects of your affection. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Because if God does that in our lives, you know what? We are going to hang on. I tell you, we'll have our seatbelt on. It'll be a white-knuckle Christian ride until the day he takes us home. That's how I want to live. Lord, make me an object of your affection and do what you want to do. I've been speaking this weekend at a marriage retreat in San Diego. And you know what the number one thing is with marriage problems? Number one thing. I had people anonymously write it down and pass it forward. Number one thing that they wrote down was, I get in the way. I get in the way. This was a Christian retreat, a Christian marriage retreat. These people began to see, these husbands and wives began to see that when God is allowed to do in our marriages what he wants to do, everything goes fine. When our marriages go wrong, it's because I'm in the way. Something that's in my life. And I allow it to be that way. Think about it. The same is true in our Christian experience. I'd rather be the object of God's affection. God, get me out of the way. Just love on me. You know? Any of you watch cartoons, raise your hand. See, I don't belong in this auditorium, I'm telling you. I love Pepe Le Pew. That guy is so cool. And you know he's always talking like this, and he sees the cat and he goes, oh my chérie. And the little cat, remember, she walked under a scaffolding. She's got a stripe down her back. She's not even a skunk. She's a cat. But he's a skunk, and he sees the stripe down her back and says, oh, ho, 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 my little love bolt. And he goes after her, and she's pushing and pushing. Remember, she's going like this, and he doesn't get the hint. She's clawing him and scraping him, and he's going, oh, your love, you tried to resist. It's fantastic. Why? He's just so passionate. He's going for it. You know, he's like that. He's just out for it. All he knows is love. And you see the little guy walk by in the cartoon. You see him walk by and there's hearts over his head. You know, that little cartoon thing, what he's thinking. There's love. And he's, you know, they got a gondola and all this stuff. Very romantic stuff. You say, well, that's silly. Well, you know what? We need to be like that regarding God. He has set his affection upon us. All of our lives, he's been saying, you know what? I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I'm drawing you to me with loving kindness. And what do? Pushing, pushing away. We push them. Objects of his affection. Then it says peace. Irene or Irene. If your name's Irene, this is that word, Irene. Or in Hebrew, it's the word, what is the word in peace? Shalom. Peace. What's interesting is John gives the Greek greeting in the New Testament church, grace. That's what the Gentiles said to one another who are Christians. Grace to you. I think John MacArthur, isn't that his program? Grace to you. Where do you get that from? The Bible. Why was that written in the Bible? Because that's what the Bible says, because that's what the early church did when they understood God's relationship to them. It was all ensconced in grace. Grace to you. But then there's the Hebrew greeting, shalom, that incorporated the Jewish believers who had become Christians and the Gentiles who had become Christians. Grace and peace. This word peace, to join together, to have a quietness of the soul. Let me ask you, do you have a quietness of the soul? God wants you to have that quietness of your soul. To rest, to be at one with someone again. The traditional greeting of believers, shalom, peace. So when God's grace is upon your life and you realize, man, I'm the object of God's affection. You've been born again. That is, you have your life changed. Now the Holy Spirit has moved in because you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, you've given your heart to Christ. You've brought your sin to Him. He's taken it away. And He has sealed you into the day of redemption. You're born again. The grace of God will keep your heart, and from that moment on, you have peace with God. You have the peace of God, and you have peace with God. No longer fighting with God. Now that that's been settled, you have the peace of God that rules and reigns in your heart. Isn't that awesome? I have found out in my life that God does not give me grief. I give Him grief. That's sad, but I do. But He doesn't give me grief. The grief that comes into my life comes from either me or others, but not from the Lord. Let's be careful we don't blame Him for things that He's not responsible for. Okay? Keep that in mind. The things, many things that go on in this world, in this life, they're just natural to a fallen world. God is the Redeemer, and He's coming back to fix. But He's eternal. Verse 4 says, the one who is, who was, who is to come. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, for thus says the Lord, for thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Isn't that great? He inhabits eternity. Kind of makes you see God like he's got some clouds that are in the shape of horses lassoed, and He's riding them across the sky, so to speak. He inhabits eternity. Isn't that awesome?
I think it's awesome.
I thought it was awesome. He inhabits eternity?
Wow.
We saw before last week in our study how God is the one who was, who is to come. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. We looked at that. The beginning and the end, the Almighty. God does not dwell, as we mentioned, on a timeline. There's nothing new to God. And as we realize, every time we see that, the one who was, who is to come, it tells us about His eternity, that He's never had a birthday. He'll never have a funeral. He's always been. He doesn't live in a timeline. He's spirit, and He is beyond all that. He's not subject to time. And I like that, because some things went on in my life this week and I wrote some things down that helped me. I was going through a trial. And it was a really fun thing because I think I learned something out of the trial. One of the things that God began to share with me, and I wrote it down so I could just share it today, was in the midst of this trial that was going on and then studying for this book of Revelation, God used this study to meet me earlier in the week. Jack, this trial that you're in, let me talk to you about it. Yes, Lord, please talk to me about it. First, take it away. Now, I want to teach you something. Number one, I dwell in eternity. As you've been studying, I'm the one who was, who is to come. Yes, Lord, I already know that. I don't think I know that. Because what He began to impress upon my heart is, Jack, this is very good news. Well, amen, Lord. Yes, I'm sure it is. No, good news for you. Because you dwell on a timeline, Jack. That's how you live. The moon goes through its successions in 30 days. It's a Monday through Friday. There's 24 hours in a day. I don't live like that, Jack. You do, I don't. Okay, got him. That's nice, but I'm not getting it. The problem that you're experiencing, Jack, is new to you. It's not new to me. I dwell in eternity. I have always known about this problem that was still yet coming to you. I have always presided over it. Lord, go on. Well, what I mean is this. As the trial arrives to your understanding, to your situation, I have already known about it because I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. And because I am the one who was, who is to come, the situation has always been in front of me, including the answer. You have just stumbled upon it. So give me the problem. It was too simple. I had to argue with God over that. What is your problem? What's your crisis? Is it new? Oh, yeah, it's new. I thought I'd never, ever have this. God knew about it before he ever created the world. You've arrived at it with me. We've arrived at it. But the truth is, it's always been before God. That means he's not panicking. He's not wringing his hands in heaven. Oh, no. What are we going to do? It's always been for him. And you say, well, that's kind of negative. Well, you can't look at it that way. Yes, it's always been for him, but so has the remedy. No wonder why 1 Peter 5:7 says to heave. That doesn't mean throw up. It means to push all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. How can he do that? Because he has big shoulders. He's eternal. And so that's a liberation. That's a freedom. Someone will say, I don't see God anywhere. I think he's abandoned us. He's nowhere. He's nowhere to be found. Somebody told me that earlier this week. He's nowhere in my life. And within 24 hours, that nowhere, you moved the W over, put a space up between the W and the H, and it was very evident and clear that God was now here. The truth is, he never left that person. The truth is, that person was swallowed up with defeat and with self and couldn't see God anywhere. He's nowhere. No, the truth is, he's now here, and he's always been here. And God shut their mouth, so to speak, because he did something fantastic and they had to sit and go, I was criticizing God and I was accusing him of not caring and I was accusing him of not being involved in my life. And he just shut my mouth with his goodness. And I told that person, you know what? You're blessed because I would not, if I were God, I would not have blessed you after what you said about me. And that kind of added to their appreciation, you know. So, Matthew 6, verse 8. Are you writing these down, anybody? Thank you. Matthew 6, 8. Therefore, do not be like them, those who worry and panic. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. What does that mean? That means if he has knowledge of what we need before we ask him, and he tells us to ask, and he does, what does it mean? Well, it means this, that God knows in advance. So ask with boldness. What's wrong with us? We walk up to God. God, I'd really like to be used by you. I really would. And we approach him, you know, like it's never going to happen. Don't you think God wants to use you in this world? We go, Lord, is it too wrong for me to ask you to bless my life? He wants your life blessed more than you want it blessed. The things that you and I have need of, the scripture says, ask. Because he knows in advance what you need. That means we ought to ask boldly. Father, I want your will done in my life. Invade my life. I can't help but think that Jesus rolls up the sleeves of his robe and says, all right, let's go. I love that. Boldness. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, the one who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Now listen, there's a switch. Revelation 4:8. It says rather regarding the four creatures that we looked at last time with the six wings and they cry out, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Notice it's switched. Who was, who is to come. Where in Revelation 1:8 it was who is, who was, who is to come. It's interchangeable. You'll see it go bounce back and forth in Scripture. Revelation 11, verses 1 through 17. In verse 17 of chapter 11, it says there that we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, who is to come, because you have taken your great power and you have reigned. So it's the one who is or the one who was. And then the middle section, it's either the one who is or the one who was. for the application. Revelation 16:5. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, who is to come." Some of your Bibles say the one who is to be. Same difference. Listen, consideration number four under this point, God's position. That is where he's coming from. It says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. The seven spirits which are before his throne. I'm going to try to go through this as quick as possible. When he says the seven spirits, there's a great liberty we have in understanding this. Nobody knows the answer to this for sure. What are the seven spirits? Well, we have some options. It could be, write with a question mark in your notes, a question mark. It could be Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2, because first of all, we know that the number 7 speaks about completion, the seven spirits. But let me ask you, some people will say that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, citing Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 and 2. And they say this, "There shall be a rod or a root from the stem of Jesse, the branch shall grow out of his roots," that is the Messiah that's to come. Isaiah 11, 2, "the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." They say that's one. "The Spirit of wisdom," number two. "Understanding," three. "The Spirit of counsel," four. "Might," five. "The Spirit of knowledge," six. "And the fear of the Lord," they count that as seven. You can certainly do that. Could Revelation here in chapter 1, verse 4, be speaking about Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, that the seven spirits is the totality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit? It could mean that, but the problem is in the original Hebrew, what is put forward is only six of them. It says in the original, the way it's put together, "the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." And it reads this way. Number one, the Spirit of wisdom. Number two, understanding. Three, the Spirit of counsel. Four, might. Five, the Spirit of knowledge. And six, the fear of the Lord. So which one is it? Is it a reference to the Holy Spirit? It could be the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 4. Excuse me, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Zechariah 4, 1 says, "And he said unto me, what do you see? And he said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid precious metal with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And the two olive trees are by it. And at the right of the bowl and at the left of the bowl stood the olive trees. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these things? Then the angel said to me, do you not know what these things are? And he said, no, I do not know. So he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "saith the Lord." So it could be a reference to the Holy Spirit, these seven spirits, or it could not be a reference to the Holy Spirit. The other view is this. Because it appears in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is singular, that would go against what we see in verse 4. The Holy Spirit does not dwell, by the way, before the throne of God. He's not localized. What do we know from the Bible? That the Holy Spirit dwells everywhere all at once, don't we? That's what the Bible teaches. So one of the arguments is this is not the Holy Spirit. This is, in fact, something else, because the Holy Spirit cannot be localized. Listen, what are or what is the seven spirits? Revelation 5, 6. Revelation 5, 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns," speaks of his complete kingship, "seven eyes," speaks of his absolute complete knowledge, "which are the seven spirits of God, which are sent out into all the earth." Keep reading. Revelation 3, 1. "And to the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God." Revelation 4, 5. "And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Revelation 5, 6. Listen carefully. Revelation 5, 6 again. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as though it had been slain. I read it a moment ago. I'll read it again. Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are sent out. The seven spirits are sent out into all the earth. The seven spirits of God, I believe personally, and it's no big deal, but I believe that they're actually specified or specially ordained angels. Where do I get that from? Revelation 8:6. Revelation 8:6. By the way, before you turn there, remember we talked about how the book of Revelation, when it speaks about something as a symbol or as a type, it will answer itself? Watch this. Revelation 8:6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound their trumpets. Now remember, these seven angels are sent out, or the seven spirits are sent out into all the earth. Remember that? So the seven angels they're talking about, Revelation 8:7 goes on to say, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. This is, of course, during the tribulation period. And hail and fire were thrown down to the earth, and a third part of all the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And it goes on. Revelation 8:8. Then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain was burning with fire, and it was thrown into the oceans or the seas. And a third part of the sea became blood. Revelation 8:10. The third angel sounded, and a great star, probably a meteor, fell from heaven, burning like a torch. It goes on and on, my friend, seven times, until Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Revelation 8:2. Revelation 8:2. I went fast. Get the tape. Gotta go. Revelation 8:2. I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and unto them were given seven trumpets. The seven spirits before the throne of God. Where do we find reference seven angels? Where are they? Before the throne of God. Where are they sent? To the earth. The Holy Spirit presides over all, everywhere. Isn't that consistent with Scripture? Hebrews 1:14 says, concerning angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth into the world to be the ministers of those who shall inherit salvation? Did you know that? There are angels that, we get this concept, or we've heard guardian angels. Well, where's that in the Bible? Right here in the book of Hebrews 1:14. There are angels that have been dispatched to our lives that lead us, guide us, protect us, perhaps until we become saved, and no doubt certainly afterwards. But they go forward on our behalf because we are heirs of salvation. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that those of us who are heirs of salvation, it says that they're angels, our angels, behold the face of God before his throne. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Jesus Christ Center Stage Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Jesus Christ Center Stage Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events. The Book of Revelation, as we'll see, occupies a central place in the hearts and minds of every true believer. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture. It brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, from all of us here at Real Life Radio, Merry Christmas.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.